Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to today's broadcast. This is episode 57, and you're listening to These Be Perilous Times, where we seek to understand not only the signs of the times, but how we must respond to the things which must soon take place. I'm Pastor Andre, here with our host, Rabbi John Wesley, and we'd like to invite you today to study with us and engage with the Word this morning. If you're listening live, make sure to have your Bible, a pen, and paper ready for today's word. But before we get started, Rabbi, would you open us up with a word of prayer?
I would be honored to. Father, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for how you're magnifying your word and that you are allowing your word to go from coast to coast, sea to sea, from globally throughout this world. Father, we thank you that you shine that same light upon us. And as you do, we ask for forgiveness for sin, iniquity, and transgression. We thank and praise you for who you are in our life and for giving us the power, the strength, and the anointing to not only to receive the forgiveness, but to give the forgiveness. So we give that forgiveness for those who also sin against us, cause iniquity and transgression against us. We also receive that forgiveness as well, Father. Father, we thank you that you appropriate that forgiveness to the third and the fourth generation of our ancestors on both sides of our family. And we glorify you for that right now. We are more than amazed, more than honored, to press in, to submit to, and to glean from your precious Holy Spirit, your Ruach HaKodesh. And we ask that you begin to speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, illuminate our pathway, and fulfill all of your purpose inside of us. In the name of Yeshua. Amen and amen. Pastor Andre, back to you, sir.
All right, sir. We're going to go ahead and open up with our before Torah study blessing, and then I'll go ahead and recap last week's session before we start today. So here's the before Torah study blessing of Pastor Doug.
Baruch atah Yehuah Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kishanu b'mitzvotav, yitzanu la'asot b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Yehuah, our Yah, King of the universe, who sanctified us with his commandments, and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yahuwah, nuestro Dios, Rey del Universo, quien nos santificó con sus mandamientos y nos ordenó absorbernos en las palabras de la Torah.
Amen. All right, thank you all for joining us this morning. Last week we discussed, in a nutshell, we discussed how do we prepare and keep ourselves from spots and wrinkles, and from lulling to sleep. The first, you know, is a common phrase that says the bride has made herself ready. And also we know that Paul said in one of his epistles that he wanted to present the bride without spot or wrinkle. Now, the lulling to sleep part, that comes from Matthew chapter 25, where we see not just the foolish virgins, but also the wise ones had a period of time where they began to lull to sleep. And so we want to make sure that we keep ourselves and prepare ourselves so that we don't go into a deep sleep, if you will, and not wake up in time for the return of our Lord. But one of the things that we started off with last week, we read several scriptures. I'm going to go ahead and outline them for you. One of the ones that jumps out to me on the top of my list here was 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 4. And in this letter that Peter wrote, he was encouraging wives to not let their adornment be external only, but more so internal. And we can see a clear projection of that comment to the bride of Messiah as we're getting ready for our wedding day. We need to make sure that we're not just adorning ourselves in a way that is seen by other men. You know, it says, men look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And so we need to make sure that we're preparing ourselves and removing the spots and wrinkles, not just merely on the outside, but especially on the inside. Spiritually speaking, it's as if everything comes from the inside and moves out. And so the cleanliness, the spots and the wrinkles need to be washed and ironed out from inside first and then continuing into the outside. So we need to make sure that we're not caught up in the cares of the world, nor the things that are happening and manifesting around us in the natural, but we need to make sure that our eyes and our focus remain on Yah, remain on His kingdom, remain on His word, remain on the things that are solid and true and trustworthy, so that we're not whipped to and fro, if you will, by what happens in the world, but that we're steady and secure on that solid rock. And again, we want to make sure that we are aware that, yes, there's a temptation for both the wise and foolish to fall asleep, but we need to make sure that our lamps are lit. And we've talked about that in past weeks, making sure that our understanding and keeping the commandments of God, especially His Torah, is a huge component to keeping that lamp lit and being prepared. So we want to make sure that we follow through with that. We also looked at, in discussing the big picture of the ancient Jewish wedding, we looked at John chapter 3, specifically verse 29, and we could see clearly that John the Baptist understood the key components. He understood the key players in the ancient Jewish wedding. He knew about the bride, he knew about the bridegroom, and he knew the role of the friend of the bridegroom, and he understood how that related to the coming of the bridegroom, which we know as Yahushua, Jesus, but also how that played out as far as the bride being joined with him in the beginning of the marriage ceremony. So we also got to see that Yeshua gave rich nuggets and rich keys concerning the kingdom, specifically relating to qualifications for the bride. We see that in the discussion he has with Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And one key phrase, again, it says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then he goes on to say, except he be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And that's a very important thing that we have to make sure we understand, that Yeshua was speaking of very deep mysteries, but he was speaking to a man that was a teacher, not just a teacher, but a ruler of the Jews. And so he was a part of the Sanhedrin, part of the 70. And he was explaining things that he should have understood, but these things were so deep that even Nicodemus was beginning to puzzle it. But by the Spirit of God, we have understanding and are walking in a time where we can see clearly how these things play out and have played out from the beginning of Genesis till now. So we're in a beautiful time, and we can see how the ancient Jewish wedding as a concept ties together the scriptures from Genesis all the way to Revelation in a very profound way. So this is very exciting to see how Yeshua was giving those understandings too. Now, another scripture that has often been misunderstood and mistranslated, Revelation chapter 22, verse 14. If we look in the King James, we see clearly that it says the keeping of the following of the commandments of God was part of what gave the bride access to the tree of life. But in other scriptures, it says the washing of the robes. And we have a position here that it is not either or, but both and. It is both keeping the commandments of God and the washing of the robes, which we understand to be the mikvah, to be washing away the sins and having the remission of sins through the baptism in the husband's name in water, full immersion. And so that is important that we see both of those components, not either or, but both. These are requirements for the brideship. And we can understand that because in the ancient Jewish wedding, the bride, yes, she had to keep the ketubah. There was an understanding and agreement between the two of them. And also, she had to immerse herself in her husband's name. She took on his name, and she would then become his. And so we see that from the ancient Jewish wedding as well. A few of the cross-references that we did go over connecting to this, we had Revelation chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. Again, that's Revelation chapter 7, verse 13 through 14. And also Revelation chapter 14, 12 through 16. Okay, Revelation chapter 14, 12 through 16. And both of those point back to the perseverance of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. We see this used in multiple ways. And I hope that I'm still connected here. At any rate, we just want to also make sure to let us know and let everyone know that the bride must make herself ready in and through perilous times. We need to be submitted to our husband and make sure our choices are not friend choices, but bride choices. And so with that, Rabbi, I'll pass it back to you. Okay, it looks like it wasn't me that was disconnected. We look like we lost our host. So I'm going to go ahead and continue going on here, and hopefully he can join back with us. But I want us to take a moment here real quick and just kind of pause on that thought. It looks like we do have everyone back here. But real quick, Rabbi, before I pass it back to you, just the last thought I had said was that the bride must make herself ready in and through these perilous times. And something you said last week, Rabbi, was we need to be submitted to our husband and make sure that our choices are not friend choices, but bride choices. And so that's where we'll leave off with the recap this week, and I'll go ahead and pass it back to you, Rabbi.
Thank you, sir. And let's just add a little bit more to that end, because I know for most of you, that's probably a new concept, that how can you be qualified as a bride and then retract or go back to being a friend or even a servant? That is more than possible. I mean, we know that from the wise and foolish virgins in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. We know that through the example of Matthew chapter 22, verses 13 and 14. And these are ones that we've gone over. But oftentimes, Pastor Andre, we get caught up in chapter 15, verses 13 through 15. So I want you to, if you would, go to John chapter 15 for us, Pastor Andre, and read it both in the King James and the Amplified. That's 13, 14, and 15, where Yeshua is commending and talking to his disciples about being friends. But we don't want to disillusion ourselves with that one and not understand that he is actually looking for brides. John chapter 15, verses 13, 14, and 15, King James and Amplified. Pastor Andre?
All right. So here we are, starting with verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Verse 15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. That was verse 15. So we'll go now to the Amplified. That was King James to start off with. Here we go. No one has greater love. No one has shown stronger affection than to lay down or give up his own life for his friends. Verse 14. You are my friends if you keep on doing the things which I command you to do. And verse 15. I do not call you servants or slaves any longer, for the servant does not know what his master is doing or working out. But I have called you friends, my friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. I have revealed to you everything that I have learned from him. That's good.
Yeah. Okay, so now, who is the person that says in this particular passage, you are my friend, if you do everything that I have required of you? Who is the individual that's saying, that is a friend of mine? Pastor Andre?
That is Yahushua, the bridegroom in this case.
That's correct. But the problem here is that the definition, not Yeshua's definition. Now, Yeshua changes the definition of friend just a little bit. Because the definition, biblical definition of friend, is a person that knows and understands the requirements. Okay? The definition of bride is what Yeshua gave to his disciples as his friends. A friend knows what to do, but depending upon situations and depending upon the attitude of the friend can choose not to do it. Yeshua gives an example in the parables about a friend that was being persistent with another friend in trying to get some substance for an individual that was coming to his house. And he continued to knock. And in that particular parable, Yeshua says that the friend does not answer the door because he's a friend, but because of the persistent knocking of his other associate. He will answer the door, and he will give him what he wants because of the persistent knocking. So what are you trying to say here, Rabbi? What I'm trying to get everyone to understand, that when you look at this definition that Yeshua gives for his disciples, and then you look at the definition that the Heavenly Father gives, because there's two different individuals utilizing the same term of friend here. Yeshua gives his definition. He says, if you continue to do this, then you are my friend. In other words, my friends are also my brides, because they're going to do everything that I require of them. But when you go back and look at Matthew chapter 22 and start off at, let's say, verse 12, 13, 14, Matthew chapter 22, this is the definition of the Father's understanding, who is control of everything, control of the wedding, control of the ceremony, control of who his son marries as brides. He gives the ultimate understanding of friend versus servant. Matthew chapter 22, verses 12, 13, right around 12, 13, and 14, both King James and Amplified. Pastor Roger.
All right, here we go with King James. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. And now for Amplified. And he said, Friend, how did you come in here without putting on the appropriate wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, Tie him hand and foot, and throw him into outer darkness outside. There will be weeping and grinding of teeth, for many are called, invited, and summoned, but few are chosen.
Your thoughts on that, Pastor Andre?
You know, it's funny. I had never seen the part about the do being a different part of the friendship, being with Yeshua as more of the bride friendship. So it's interesting to see the friend of the Father here. But what's interesting is... The friend here, building a bigger picture with what we've learned last week with Revelation and washing of the robes and doing the commandments, he came, but he didn't do what he was supposed to do. And so we see him being demoted from a friend here by the servants, and so he becomes one of them on the outside in a sense. But it's a shame, because it's as if we know, because of the culture, that he knew, or he was given the wedding garment, so he knew about it. But the reason why he was speechless is he had no excuse for why he didn't put it on. And that's the doing part that we see that is necessary to complete this aspect. And it's a shame, because it's almost like he's caught. He says, you know what, I knew I should have done it, but I didn't, and now I regret it. But Rabbi, the thing that's the most concerning is that this regret is not something that will pass. It's an eternal thing. And so we want to make sure we don't have any eternal regrets. And it starts with our decisions here. It's very sobering.
I totally agree with you. I totally concur. The decisions that we make are not just temporal. The decisions that we make that are temporal affect our eternal destiny, affect our eternal relationships with the Heavenly Father and with Yeshua himself. And, wow, it's... it's one of those things that you just want to make sure that you're repentive every day because of the spiritual, eternal impact of what it will do to you and possibly to others who are following you. You know, if not kept in check, if not fulfilling what is righteous, okay? That garment, and we're going to go there again, but that garment that this friend refused to put on is directly related to Revelations chapter 22, verse 8. Revelations chapter 22, verse 8. And if you'll read that for us again, Pastor Andre, this is a direct correlation.
So Revelation chapter 22, verse 8. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things.
I'm sorry, 21. Revelation 21.
Verse 21. Okay. Yes, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.
I'm going to get it right. It's 19, verse 8. Sorry.
Okay.
Got all these scriptures in my head.
We're leading up to a big reveal here. 19... verse 8? And to her, yes, sir, I see it right here. And to her it was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. That's good.
Righteousness of the saints. It was the wedding garment is that righteousness that's connected to the mikvah, to the water baptism, that this gentleman did not have. He had, because of the invitation and because of the acceptance of the invitation, he definitely had the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but he did not have the wedding garment. That's also found in Romans chapter 8. It's the B part when you read verse 9 and 10. It's the B part when, in the B part, it says, and you can go there too if you would, sir, it says that those people that have they're the children of God if they have the Holy Spirit of God. But if they do not have the Spirit of Christ, then they're none of them. And then in verse 10, it explains what the Spirit of Christ is, and it literally gives the description of the water baptism. It gives being buried with him and then being raised with him by the mikvah. If you could go ahead and read that for us as well, please.
Absolutely.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. And it says here, starting with verse 9? Yes. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And for the Amplified. But you are not living the life of the flesh. You are living the life of the Spirit, if the Holy Spirit of God really dwells within you, directs and controls you. But if anyone does not possess the Holy Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. He does not belong to Christ. It is not truly a child of God. But if Christ lives in you, then although your natural body is dead by reason of sin and guilt, the Spirit is alive because of the righteousness that he imputes to you.
Amen. And that righteousness is the same righteousness that Yeshua spoke to John the Baptist to explain to him that, hey, this water mikvah, this baptism has to happen. This is a part of that must righteousness covering. We need to understand how important that is. We need to understand, even as brides, we can stop doing the things that are righteous, stop doing the things that we know are true and correct in the Word of God. And when we stop doing them, and that is when we can habitually continue to practice doing the wrong things. Key word is habitual. Okay? We all have areas and times in our lives where we slip up, where we don't fulfill all of what we're supposed to fulfill according to God's Word. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the individual that continually practices sin, habitually practices sin. There'll come a time when, and we can go back to Revelation chapter 22 and read 10 through 12. If we are not careful, we can get to a place to where it's so habitual and it is so ingrained in our being that we won't have the time to ask forgiveness, to be cleansed, to be purified, and be ready for the Master and for the wedding when it is placed upon us, when it is brought to us, when it's spoken and announced. Revelation chapter 22, verses 10 through 12, both King James and Amplified. Pastor Andre.
And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Now for Amplified. And he further told me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book and make no secret of them, for the time when things are brought to a crisis and the period of their fulfillment is near. Verse 11. He who is unrighteous, unjust, wicked, let him be unrighteous still. And he who is filthy, vile, and impure, let him be filthy still. And he who is righteous, just, upright, in right standing with God, let him do right still. And he who is holy, let him be holy still. Behold, I am coming soon, and I shall bring my wages and rewards with me, to repay and render to each one just what his own actions and his own work merit.
Is that not powerful? Because it never says what you confessed. It never says what you verbally spoke by faith.
Wow.
It says what you are doing. Literally, what you are doing. Literally.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, oh my goodness. It just, sometimes, you know, it just overwhelms me like a tsunami. Even though I know what he's saying to minister, it still overwhelms me because I'm like, oh my gosh, how can we say that it's a confession by faith alone? By verbal confession alone. We need to understand that it's all about the bride. It's all about the obedience. It's all about the affirmation and making sure that we are submitted to and doing what he said. That practicing lawlessness, that practicing sin, iniquity, transgression, is what will get any and every single person, whether they start off, which we all start off as a heathen, then graduate to a servant, and then a friend, and for a few, not all, a bride, but even fewer still, we've got to maintain that attitude, maintain that obedience, maintain that submission to Yah and to Yeshua. The ketubah, the marriage contract, is not just a contract that satisfies what the bridegroom says and does and agrees with the bride, but it also is indicative of and reflected to the family, God's family, and that is so important for us. We have to continue to motivate and to stimulate and to encourage and to strengthen one another while we have the day. Because the scriptures say when night comes, no man can work. It says work while it's day. It's a Hebraic idiom that's all over the scriptures. It's especially the New Testament. There's an effort, there's struggle sometimes, but there's focus towards the task of ensuring that we continue to qualify as brides. Pastor Andre, I'll pass it to you to just kind of share your thoughts as well before we move on.
Wow, that even that last verse got me because it says work right there. And too often we are taught or we're led to believe that it's about what you believe, about what you think, and about what you have in your heart that merits you anything. And that all those things, I don't want to discount that because it's a component, but Rabbi, it's very clear, especially as I was reading the Amplified of Revelation chapter 22, 10 through 12. Man, it got me when it says he's bringing with him his wages and rewards. And it's like he's coming to make some folks happy and make some folks cry, to repay and render to each one just what his own actions and his own work merit. And I thought to myself, wow, we know these things. We know that he keeps track of what we've done. You know, it says the book is written with the deeds that are in there, and we're judged by the book, so that we've read before in Revelation. But it's like we forget that the actions that we do, that we're demonstrating our faith and our belief. We truly show our belief by what we do, not by what we say. We are to judge the actions of a person, not just their words. And it makes sense that the Father does this too. But the other thing that gets me, Rabbi, is a lot of times people, for lack of better words, they discount the fact that there is a reward system, that there is wages. I mean, we see these scriptures, the wages of sin is death. Yes, we understand that. But then when it comes down to doing what's right according to God's commandments, we belittle that. People belittle that all the time. And it's not that we're doing these things for the purpose of getting reward, but there is a reward for doing them. And we can't lose sight of that. We can't, because I don't know anyone that wants to live this life and then get to the next and have nothing. I don't know anyone that wants that. So we say one thing, but then in our hearts we believe another. So we need to make sure they're both in line, that we understand that God is a rewarder. It says that in Hebrews. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And I have to remember that, because that should affect my actions, so that I've trained my actions to get the right reward versus the wages or the punishment, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does make sense. And I was just, I had myself muted, but I was just saying amen. Because, we just need to really buckle down and realize that it's not the way we perceived it to be. It's not the way that we were taught in Christianese. And it's going to affect, and as you said, it's going to bless, and it's going to just cause a lot of tremendous hurt for those who have not done it. The friend in Matthew chapter 22 is a prime example. He was cast out into outer darkness. Now, I know that there are many that would speculate that he was cast into hell, but no. He was cast away from God's presence, out of the New Jerusalem, out of the new city where the wedding will proceed, where the ceremony will continue, and the marriage will continue. Because there is a new earth. And the new earth could be considered, even in this case, without being in the presence of God and Yeshua for eternity, that would be considered outer darkness for sure. So, Father, help us in spite of us, help us, so that we don't find ourselves permanently in a friendship state or a servant state, or even a heathen state, for that matter.
Hmm.
Because there's so much that needs to be done, that has to be done in his kingdom to this aspect, and we'll move on from here, but I just want to make sure that we exhaust every ounce of warning and spiritual insights pertaining to this before we go forward.
The only other thing, and I'll make it brief, that really jumped out to me is you mentioned how when night comes, no man can work. And I thought immediately then of all the scriptures that talk about, you know, what we need to do while it's still day. And so all the more, that is another encouragement for us that we need to make sure that we do what we can and need to, what we must do while it is still day. It just reminds me of, you know, when you have preparations and you have to get all the preparations done before the time where you cannot do those things anymore. Or if you're playing a relay race or a game, you have to get as much as you can in before the time goes out. And that's just a reminder that we are in a time where we still have time on the clock, and we must get what we need to get in while we still have the daytime, spiritually speaking.
Amen. Amen. Totally understand and totally agree with that. Now let's transition a little bit, just so that we can begin to look at another aspect. The other aspect is the fact that there's more than just the bride that's going to be in this wedding ceremony. There's going to be a spiritual procession. And that spiritual procession is also the cloud of witnesses, is also awaiting for and desiring the bride to come. The Father is very specific with making sure not only that all the individuals on the earth have an opportunity, but also the angelic host. And one third of that angelic host will not be there. One third is the one, is the amount that was fallen angels that left their first estate and who submitted to the adversary Lucifer and tried to take over heaven, tried to usurp God's throne. And we need to understand that the Father is going to give a space of time before this wedding, before this rapture, if you will, for the wedding. He's going to give a space of time for the man of perdition to be revealed. And I believe that's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, but 4 through 8 also brings more of that to light. And the reason why I want to read this is because we've got a situation, an event, if you will, that is getting ready to be revealed under the current presidency. And if it's not revealed, then the former presidency will reveal it. And most are kind of anxiously awaiting what the outcome of the topic is pertaining to UFOs, pertaining to unidentified flying objects, as well as extraterrestrial beings, if you will. And from a Hebraic perspective, when I look at this, I realize this is coming right out of 2 Thessalonians, that Paul knew of these things and warned the church of these things pertaining to the order before the rapture of what has to take place first, so that we wouldn't lose heart, be deceived, and by being deceived come under the condemnation and the curse. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll probably go ahead and start with verse 1, but all the way up to verse 4, and from 4 to 7, and plus 8 really begins to codify what I've been sharing so far. Go ahead, sir.
All right. Start with King James, of course, and starting with verse 1 here. Now, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Verse 5. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Verse 8. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. That was verse 8. And now for the Amplified. But relative to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and our gathering together to meet him, we beg you, brethren, not to allow your minds to be quickly unsettled or disturbed or kept excited or alarmed, whether it be by some pretend revelation of the Spirit or by word or by letter alleged to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has already arrived and is here. Verse 3, let no one deceive or beguile you in any way, for that day will not come except the apostasy comes first, unless the predicted great falling away of those who have professed to be Christians has come. And the lawlessness, sin, is revealed. The man of lawlessness, sin, is revealed, who is the son of doom, of perdition. Verse 4, who opposes and exalts himself so proudly and insolently against and over all that is called God or that is worshipped, even to his actually taking his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming that he himself is God. Do you not recollect that when I was still with you, I told you these things? Verse 6, and now you know what is restraining him from being revealed at this time. It is so that he may be manifested, revealed in his own appropriate time. For the mystery of lawlessness, that hidden principle of rebellion against constituted authority, is already at work in the world, but it is restrained only until he who restrains it is taken out of the way. Verse 8, and then the lawless one, the Antichrist, will be revealed, and the Lord Jesus will slay him with the breath of his mouth and bring him to an end by his appearing at his coming.
So it's giving you a pecking order. It's giving you an order of events. And one of the main things that he was teaching, that Paul was teaching, was what some would call a mid-trib rapture, which we refer to more precisely as a Hebraic pre-wrath rapture. So before the wrath of God comes, but after the Antichrist is revealed, the rapture of the bride is going to happen. So what are you saying, Rabbi? I'm saying that with this whole revealing of the UFO documents that is supposed to happen either in June or July, I am, just because of God's Rolex watch, because of his biblical feast, I'm expecting it to be more close towards, or even spot on. I wouldn't doubt it to be spot on to Shavuot or Pentecost, the biblical way of calculating Shavuot and Pentecost, okay? Because there are many that are getting ready to celebrate Shavuot and Pentecost here in the next few days of the third, because they normally celebrate it in the third month of the sixth day, which is, of course, not correct or biblically correct. But anyway, the point of what I want to bring across is during these significant biblical times of God's desire, of the Heavenly Father's desire and the Son's desire for us, celebration and to be in cooperation of his events, we have a masking, if you will, and I think that's pretty appropriate, a masking of an unveiling of this UFO phenomenon. And my encouragement to you who are listening is to understand and to know that this is fallen angels, that this is the demonic realm, that this is not beings from another planet, if you will. But these are fallen angels, and they are trying to produce and to present the Antichrist. I would not doubt if the manifestation of the Antichrist comes shortly thereafter, or actually during this time period, that he begins to show himself, begins to move into a more prominent position where you can begin to look at him and say, yep, this definitely could be the one. I want us to understand that. I want us to really grasp that and get that. Because we should understand that these things will begin to reveal themselves. Revelation chapter 13 literally gives you a little bit of a step-by-step understanding of what this Antichrist is going to be doing that will give you a better idea. I mean, the whole concept of changing the society into a cashless society, changing the society into a digital society is something that would make it easy for this man of perdition to begin to control the ability of you and I to buy or sell. It's stated in that particular passage, and we'll go there just so that you all can see it and understand it and begin to grasp some rudimentary foundational biblical principles that will help to better earmark this man of perdition. And we'll just read 1 through 8 of chapter 13 of Revelations. Pastor Andre.
All right, thank you, sir. Here we go with verse 1, Revelation chapter 13 in the King James. And I stood upon the sea, the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And I apologize, Rabbi, how far do I go in this chapter?
To verse 8, I think it'd be good.
Okay. Now we're at verse 6. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, Revelation chapter 13, verse 1, and Amplified through verse 8. And as I stood on the sandy beach, I saw a beast coming up out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads. On his horns he had 10 royal crowns, diadems, and blasphemous titles, names on his heads. And the beast that I saw resembled a leopard, but his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth was like that of a lion. And to him the dragon gave his own might and power, and his own throne and great dominion. And one of his heads seemed to have a deadly wound, but his death stroke was healed, and the whole earth went after the beast in amazement and admiration. Verse 4, they fell down and paid homage to the dragon because he had bestowed on the beast all his dominion and authority. They also praised and worshipped the beast, exclaiming, "Who is a match for the beast, and who can make war with him?" And the beast was given the power of speech, uttering boastful, blasphemous words. And he was given freedom to exert his authority and to exercise his will during 42 months, 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth to speak slanders against God, blaspheming his name and his abode, even vilifying those who live in heaven. Verse 7, he was further permitted to wage war on God's holy people, the saints, and overcome them. And power was given him to extend his authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation. Verse 8, and all the inhabitants of the earth will fall down in adoration and pay him homage, everyone whose name has not been recorded in the book of life, in the book of life of the Lamb that was slain in sacrifice from the foundation of the world.
So you see here that it is definitely a situation that's going to be perilous. This is going to be perilous times for the saints. This is going to be perilous times for the believers. If you could go ahead and read it to the rest of it where it start talking about how the Antichrist will begin to squeeze the economic system that we understand and turn it right side up and upside down.
Okay. I'll go back to King James, starting with verse 9. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Let's see. Should I keep going in linear fashion, or should I jump down to another scripture?
No, you can go ahead and do that in the Amplified.
Okay, verse 10? Okay.
Yeah.
Whoever leads into captivity will himself go into captivity. If anyone slays with the sword he must be slain. Herein is the call for the patience and the faith and fidelity of the saints, God's people.
And see, right here, what is important for us to understand that faith, fidelity, is the work of the bride being obedient and steadfast to her spiritual husband and not allowing herself to be led captive or swayed through persecution, through manipulation. We must have our not only have our wedding garments on and spotless and cleansed, but we must be vigilant at this point. And there's a point that we must have the mindset of an overcomer. And it will be only an overcomer that will overcome. Pastor Arnold, your thoughts on that?
Wow, I love that, overcomer. You know, what was just going through my mind, Rabbi, as I was looking at this, and I did find the scripture as far as the economic change later down in verse 14 and 15. But what came on my mind, Rabbi, is these small little tests that we have to demonstrate if we're willing to stand for what is true. And they only get harder here on out is what I saw. And so this system, the beast, and all of these things, they will try to become even more and more, relevant. They'll try to make themselves more and more, take the oxygen out of the room, if you will. And that only will make those that try to stand with Yah, it'll only make it more difficult. The ridicule, the political isolation, all that will only get more difficult. And I apologize, I'm kind of off a little bit from where you were, but that's what was jumping through my mind as I was reading these things. But this is definitely the time of all times. This is the, it read earlier, this is the time, the call for the patience and the faith and fidelity of the saints. And it's like that. This is not the pop quiz. This is the test, and that's part of what we're also preparing ourselves for. That's why we're doing even this broadcast, so we understand and know not just what these signs are, but how we need to respond and what we must have already done, how we must be ready for this time. Come, Lord Jesus.
I totally concur. And if you could just go ahead and go down to that 13:14. Scripture, because that is kind of the culmination of what I wanted us to hear and to understand.
Yeah, all right. Yes, sir. Here we go. And I'll read this from the Amplified here, unless you want me to read both.
Yes, you could read both.
Okay, I'll go with King James then. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven and on earth in the sight of men. Verse 14. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the beast, the image of the beast should be killed. Verse 16. And he causeth all, both great and small, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Continue all the way down?
Yeah, might as well, because it's only, about three or four more scriptures, correct?
Yeah, just two more. Yeah.
Verse
17,
yeah.
And that no man, okay, verse 17, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666, or as we more often understand, 666. And now for Amplified, starting with verse 13. He performs great signs, startling miracles, even making fire fall from the sky to the earth in men's sight. And because of the signs, miracles, which he is allowed to perform in the presence of the first beast, he deceives those who inhabit the earth, commanding them to erect a statue, an image, in the likeness of the beast, who was wounded by the small sword and still lived. And he is permitted also to impart the breath of life into the beast's image, so the statue of the beast could actually talk and cause to be put to death those who would not bow down and worship the image of the beast. Verse 16. And he compels all alike, both small and great, both the rich and poor, both free and slave, to be marked with an inscription, stamped on their right hands or on their foreheads, so that no one will have the power to buy or sell unless he bears the stamp, mark, inscription, that is, the name of the beast or the number of his name. Verse 18, there is room for discernment, a call for wisdom of interpretation, but anyone who has intelligence, penetration, and insight enough, calculate the number of the beast, for it is a human number, the number of a certain man. His number is 666.
Wow. It is, it's too surreal in my mind and in my heart where we are and where we're headed and how this is quickly coming upon us. And we need to, as the true saints of God that's talked about in chapter 14, verse 12, Revelations, we need to make sure that we are submitted to and fulfilling the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ all the way to the end. I'm at awe as to how relevant and how speedily these things are coming upon us, and the fact that we will see these false miracles that will give us a tremendous insight and understanding of where we are and where and who this Antichrist is, who this beast is. Your comments, Pastor Andre, because there's so much and so little time to share anything that with this broadcast at this point. But we need to understand this. We need to understand where we are. We need to be prepared for whatever revealing is going to happen in the next few months ahead, and have our spiritual armor well fitted so that we aren't taken captive. Your closing remarks, Pastor Hunter.
Yeah, I quickly jump back to the phrase that Paul used in 2 Thessalonians. He said not to allow your minds to be quickly unsettled or disturbed or kept excited or alarmed. That's what's amplified. But, you know, the things that we're going to be seeing to the person who's caught unaware or off guard, it will probably throw them for a loop. But I'm encouraged knowing that, you know, we are preparing ourselves for what appeared to many to be crazy, just crazy things. But what really encourages me is even though we see these things coming together to a head, you know, the talks about UFOs and fallen angels and all these things coming to a head, we're prepared knowing that we know what we're looking for. First of all, just with the scriptures, we know that we're not supposed to be bowing down to graven images. You know, God has given us the rule book to know the counterfeit when it comes and how to respond to it. And so I'm encouraged that we serve an awesome God. I'm encouraged that we have given to us the playbook. And so it's a matter of us making sure that we prepare ourselves and know our play and how to perform them and to walk them out. So, Red, like you said last week, you know, it's an exciting time. It really is. And I think for those of us who are walking in understanding of the blessings and protections and what Yah will do for the bride of Christ, there is a level of assurance. And it just reminds me of that that old hymn, Blessed Assurance, Jesus Yeshua is mine. And we just have a foretaste of glory that we can look towards and know that we have in him with the Father. So there's a lot of encouragement in these times. So that's just where my mind leaves me right now. So I'll stay with that. So thank you all for joining us today. I'll let you share a few thoughts real quick. You know, I'm close.
And I'm sorry, I didn't know if you were going to go ahead and conclude, but I was just going to say that although we're concluding in this message, we're going to be talking a little bit more about what to potentially expect and how that could also connect more directly with the times of the Gentiles being coming to a close as well. Back to you, sir.
Yes, that's a very timely word too. So please join us next week. Thank you for listening today, but join us next week as we continue with These Be Perilous Times. We are glad that you have taken time to listen and to prepare yourself and engage in the study of Yah's word. We encourage you to do that. Encourage you to go back and study these things, search through the scriptures, get that Bible and get those pages a little bit more nimble. Or if you use your electronic Bible, no shame here. But we encourage you to go back and see if these things are true. Search the scriptures while we still can. As a reminder, this broadcast is an outreach of Congregation Beth Hashem of Durham, North Carolina. If you have any questions whatsoever, or you'd like to receive our weekly newsletter, or simply desire to leave us an encouraging word, we encourage you to do so. You can do so at our email address, office@bethhashem.org. You can find out more about us on our website, www.bethhashem.org. That's www.bethhashem.org. We also have a Facebook page made for convenience of some. You can go to facebook.com/Beth Hashem Ministries to find out more about our things going on throughout the week. If you'd like a deeper understanding of the Hebraic roots of our faith, our college, the Ka University of Learning, offers courses in Messianic apologetics and biblical Jewish studies. You can view our course catalog at courses.bethhashem.org. Also, if you'd like to make a contribution to this ministry to donate, you can do so via Cash App with www.cash.app. That's cash.app/$Beth Hashem. Or you can mail a donation to our office, 2211 Shaw Road, Durham, North Carolina, 27704. And we want to thank you for those of you who have been joining with us and who have donated, and also for those of you who are praying for and supporting this ministry. We say thank you from our hearts. Thank you very much. And right now we'll go to the After Torah Study Blessing, and followed by our Aaronic Benediction, our closing and our closing prayer with the Rabbi. So right now, After Torah Study Blessing, Pastor Doug.
Baruch Ata Yehuah Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Asher Natan Manu Toret Emet, Vachaye Olam Nata Bikokenu. Baruch Ata Yehuah Noten HaTorah. Blessed are you, Yehuah, Arya, King of the Universe, who gave us the Torah of Truth and set everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehuah, Giver of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yehuah, nuestro Dios, Rey del Universo. No has dado la Torah de la verdad. Y poner vida eterna en medio de nosotros, se bendiga Yehuah, dador de la Torah.
Amen. And now for the Aaronic benediction, which comes from Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 and 25. I'll recite it in Hebrew and then in English, and then I'll pass it to you, Rabbi.
Yivarechecha Yehuah, veyishmerecha. Yair Yehua panavelecha michunecha. Yisa Yehua panavelecha ve'yasem lecha shalom.
May Yehua bless you and keep you. May Yehua cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yehua lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of our Messiah Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Back to you.
Father, we thank and praise you and glorify you for building us up in our most inner man and in our areas of weakness, areas where we need the strength of faith and the fortitude to stand like Daniel, like the Hebrew boys of old stood, even unto death. We have opportunities to get ourselves prepared for such a thing as this. The fifth seal talks about the martyrs, talks about individuals that stood against the adversity and against the perilous times of their day, and they were not afraid. They were strengthened. They were encouraged. They were built up. They were motivated to be overcomers in every area of their life. So, Father, we desire to be in that number. Not just when the saints go marching in, but when the saints stand against adversity, when the saints stand against wickedness, when the saints stand against evil doers. Let us be in that number of the glorious ones that stand against them, the glorious ones that have your anointing, your power, your spirit guiding them the whole way into your presence. We ask that right now in the name of Yehoshua. And until next broadcast, Shalom, Shalom.